It's 8 o'clock. Inspiration 92.3 FM.
Hi, my name is Onimisi Adaba. Now, in partnership with Bridge Clinic, the Fearing IVF Center in Nigeria, every Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Inspiration FM, I'll be coming your way with a show called The Men's Room, which is the much-needed platform for healthy and honest discussions on things we as men hardly talk about. Now, don't forget, I'm partnering with Bridge Clinic, and it's coming your way on Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. The Men's Room, from the bedroom to the boardroom.
Thank you so much for joining in. Welcome on board the Men's Room. I'm Onimisi Adaba. How are you doing? You know I'll always ask. I have to know how you're doing. How was your day? Had a good one? You did? You want to tell me about it?
Not now.
Somehow, some way. But I'm glad you had a good day. I'm glad everything's going on well with you. And tuning in to listen to the Men's Room. I'm okay. Bit of here and there. Hectic, typical Lagos day, but we're here, we're fine, and I'm here for you. All right, so tonight in the Men's Room, if you checked my Facebook page, what do I have? What did I put out there? We're still continuing the series we started about 3 weeks ago. Fertility, infertility, everything you need to know, you know, and how to get it right and trying to make babies and putting smiles on your faces. And you know how it is in these parts of the world, you know. You get married and before you know it, everybody now starts getting nosy and asking questions and all of that out of concern, out of love, and it starts getting uncomfortable and all of that. And so we decided to take it on head on right here in the Men's Room, partnering with the Bridge Clinic to make sure that, hey, the nosiness stops, all the whispers here and there, asking questions stops, by just giving you answers, straight up answers, professional answers, solutions to anything about infertility for the male, especially for the male. And today we're talking late marriages, fear of the unknown, and infertility. Wow, I'm telling you, that's a big one. I'm telling you, late marriages, fear of the unknown, and infertility. That's what we're talking about today. And for sure, I wouldn't be doing it all by myself. I've got me in the house, Rose Ogbeche. Now, Rose Ogbeche is the head laboratory services and clinical
embryologist.
I was going to say that. Come on. I was going to say that myself. Embryologist.
Yeah, embryologist.
Didn't you think I was going to get that?
Well, you were taking too long to pronounce the word.
I was actually looking at it to know how to pronounce it, how to place the letters and all of that. Anyway, so that's what she is. That's what she does right there at the Bridge Clinic. And together we're going to be, I'll be asking the questions and she'll be sharing professionally on how things are done and how to put an end to a sad story and how to make it lively and put smiles on people's faces. We're going to be zeroing in a whole lot on the women today. You know, we focused on the men last week, and yes, it's a Men's Room, but yeah, we're all about ladies, and I like it every time we have a woman in the Men's Room.
Yeah, I'm happy.
By the way, thank
here.
You for coming.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
It's good to have you. How was your day? How was a typical day for you, like in the hospital there?
Okay, basically you come to work, you have to attend meetings, and then you have to enter into the lab and check on the embryos, see how they're doing, monitor everything. So it's pretty hectic too.
Pretty hectic, right?
Yeah.
But I bet you go home smiling every time.
Yes, knowing that you've been able to put a smile, even if it's on one couple, it's quite gratifying. Yes.
And that brings some level of fulfillment, some sense of fulfillment to you.
Yes, that's why I wake up every day to go to
work. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be talking about right here in the Men's Room. You've heard her. She's here. And professionally, she's going to be talking with you. I'm tempted to throw out the numbers now. But if I throw them out now, you guys will just start calling like crazy. Nothing wrong with calling, but I'll need her to share those professional thoughts, you know, from which you guys can now call and ask your questions and all of that. Okay, I'll give out the numbers if you promise you don't call now. You let us talk a little bit, right? Okay, I'll give out the numbers. The numbers to call, you can send messages, yeah? Messages, inquiries. Send inquiries to 081-8460-7791. Yeah, send inquiries there. Once again, 081-0460-7791. And also 016-3192. Yeah, 016-3192. That's 310092. And then, of course, the studio lines, you know it, right? You don't? Come on, you've been listening to the radio all day. All right, it's 0817. It's 0700-923-923-923. So these are the numbers these are the numbers to call. You've been armed with all of these, but don't call now, please. Don't call now. Let's let her talk, and then you guys will go on and make your calls and send all kinds of messages and all of that. Yeah. So I mean, so the deal is that the world marriage is fast losing its meaning. I mean, today we've got men and women getting engulfed in completely into their careers and fast lifestyles, achieve the career goals, work and earn high pay, you know, and paychecks, and well, all kinds of things happening, while few decide to get married and, you know, begin a family. But not taking the decision to get married at the right age has its own consequences. You know, for whatever reason, people, you know, either decide not to get married, or life pushes you not to get married, or something happens and you're, you know, especially for the ladies, they call it the biological clock ticking and ticking and ticking and all of that. So it happens, and you really don't get an ideal partner, and somehow you're forced to start a family soon after marriage. Moreover, you don't get time to understand your partner and simply start living like, you know, you start living like a robot. When you have time to study, you have time to check him out or check her out and all of that. But when it's like, shop, shop, do it now. You know, you start living like a robot with not much life in it, and it ends up in late marriage, and it is seen as a completely different topic for men and women, you know, late marriages and all of that. So right here, like I did say earlier on, if you're just hooking up, this is what we're talking about. We're talking late marriages, fear of the unknown, and infertility. And I've got Rose Obeche in the house. She's head laboratory services and clinical embryologist at the Bridge Clinic to share thoughts with us in this regard and all of that. So how many of these cases do you deal with? Do you see people coming to do, you know, people having problems as a result of late marriages and all of that?
Yeah, unfortunately, when it comes to infertility, there is a gender inequality.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it comes with the women. Mm-hmm. So basically, age is a main criteria when it comes to infertility, unfortunately. So as
for
the woman,
who now? For the guys
for the
or
woman,
for the women?
For the woman. Okay. So as the woman ages, of course, fertility declines. It's the way God has made us. So usually from early 20s to about early 30s, you still have pretty much a good ovarian reserve, okay? Mm. Because that is where the eggs that are supposed to be fertilized comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So from the age of 35, the fertility of the woman starts to decline very rapidly. So by the time you get to about 40, 45, it's almost nearly impossible to have a baby with your own eggs. So, and that's why at the Bridge Clinic, what we do is that in order to help these women, because of career, there are a whole lot of reasons why, you know, people have chosen.
What reasons do you get most of the times? I'm sorry I'm cutting in, but we'll back you up. We'll take up from where you stop. But what reasons do you get most of the time?
So like you earlier mentioned, they haven't found the right partner, okay?
Do you ever get career?
As in, look, career. Of course. There are a whole lot of people that come in and they just didn't find the right partner at the right time. So there is a delay when it comes to that. Also for cancer patients, people that are going through chemotherapy.
Yeah.
So there is a need because of the radiotherapy.
Yeah.
There may be some, you know, the arrangements that are not, you know, favorable for the chromosomes. The chromosomes are more or less like the DNA that make up the whole genetic makeup. So once you go through that therapy, there could be a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always advisable before you go through that therapy, you come in, you freeze your eggs before you go through, so that when you finish your therapy, you can always come back and you can have a very healthy child afterwards. And also for endometriosis, there are a whole lot of women that come in. Endometriosis.
You need to break it down.
Okay, endometriosis, it's more or less like a condition that happens in the women whereby there are some appearances that occur in the womb that appear somewhere else that is not in the womb. Okay, so they come down with a lot of pain, but of course you have to meet with your doctor to, you know, diagnose that, because usually you have to do a lot of tests, some ultrasounds to, you know, verify that condition. So for those women, yes, some of them may have to go through surgery, and it's always advisable that they come in and freeze their eggs, especially if they know that maybe they haven't had a partner yet before they go through surgery and all of that. So there are a whole lot of medical conditions too. Maybe you have a genetic predisposition to having a low fertility in future. Most women, they already have that information when they come in. They're told okay, my doctor has told me that if I don't do something about my fertility now, there may be a problem down the line. So, for those kind of couples, clients, we always advise that they freeze their eggs until they are ready to have their own children.
Wow. Got tons of questions. I don't even know which to pick from. But let me start with, in freezing the eggs, is there any limit to it? As in, hey, look, we can freeze this eggs for 1 year, for 2 years. After 2 years, forget it. It's not good anymore. Or it's just there. It's there till you're ready.
Yes. Basically, it's there till you're ready. Mm. So in the UK, the United Kingdom, you're actually allowed to freeze your gametes, which is your egg or your sperm, and your embryos, which are the product of putting the egg and the sperm together. It's called an embryo, can freeze for as long as 10 years. So the technology, you know, allows that. But of course, you need to be at a facility that, you know, is able to maintain that storage, because it's a very...
By maintaining storage, now you're talking temperature.
Yes, temperature. Okay. They have to be stored at a specific temperature, okay, which needs to be monitored.
And you have it there, right there at the Bridge
Clinic.
Yes,
we do that. We do
Fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Good Lord. Look, I know we're talking women now, but that's one of the reasons for the men's room. We care for the women, and we just want to get better for the women. And we need to understand these things so that by the time the wife starts thinking like this, or you start thinking like that, this is like pointing you in the right direction as to, hey, look, we need to look at this, talk about it, and head to the clinic as soon as possible. Otherwise, we wouldn't understand anything we're talking about. And that's why we're talking infertility, or fertility as the case is, that comes with late marriages and being unpredictable and not knowing what to expect and all of that. Now, you mentioned UK earlier on, which takes me to the question on whether factors that cause infertility vary from country to country, because some people are exposed to certain things in some countries, some developed countries or less developed, if I may, you know, against other countries. So one wonders whether or not infertility varies from country to country. Would you be able to say something about that?
Well, lots of research have come in from the United Kingdom, the United States, Europe, and even in Nigeria here, there are a lot of studies, you know, on infertility. And basically, it's the same almost across board, because male fertility has been shown to account for about 40 to 50%
we talked
of
about
infertility
last week
cases.
And,
yes.
I mean, Dr. Bam,
and also you have, you know, the female factor too, which is the egg factor, ovarian decline, you know, with the age. And even now we see women as young as 25, 30 coming down with very poor ovarian reserve. So we also need to think deep about what we are eating and a whole lot of environmental factors that may be responsible for this decline at a very young age. And we have unexplained factors.
Exactly.
So the sperm may be normal, the eggs may just be fine, but the couple are just not getting pregnant. So there is that God factor in it that science still cannot explain, you know, why, because of infertility, you know. So basically, male factor, you cannot overemphasize the causes of infertility to represent about 50% of the male factor. Likewise, the women. So you can have uterine factors, maybe fibroids that are not in the right place, endometriosis that we talked about. Yeah. They've actually been shown to reduce the quality of the egg. Research have actually shown that. So a whole lot of factors from the male and the female.
I also hear that, you know, with every menstrual period for the woman, with every cycle comes, you know, reduction of the quality of the eggs and all of that. I don't know.
Yes, because I already mentioned that it's quite unfortunate that when it comes to reproduction, there is a gender inequality. So, yes, the women are already born with the normal complement of eggs that they will ever ovulate for their lifetime. So, it's not like the men that every 64 days or thereabout you keep producing new sperm cells. It's not the same for the women.
Yeah.
So, by the time you're already born, you already have about maybe 2 million cells. And before you get to puberty, you're ovulating about 11,000 every month. So by the time you're at puberty and ready to actually have a menstrual cycle, mm-hmm. you're left with about 400,000 to 500,000 number of oocytes that you have to deal with for the rest of your life. And of course, with continuous exposure, yeah. environmental factors, mm-hmm. you know, as you get older, the quality of the eggs that are still in your ovaries are declining. Yeah. So that is just the truth about the woman.
Could a diet take care of all of this? You know, that, yes, okay, losing blood and losing, you know, the menstrual cycle, but all right, I'm eating this, I'm drinking this, I'm maintaining this kind of lifestyle, so that should take care of it. Can that work?
Well, that's been some, you know, unpublished studies, but of course, when it comes to medicine, you have to practice evidence-based medicine. Yeah. But there's really not much we can do about genetics. It's mm-hmm. just what it is, mm-hmm. okay? We can probably freeze your eggs, like we said,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe in future, but making something better that it is already, like the genetic makeup is already disintegrating and all of that, you really cannot do much
mm-hmm.
when it comes to age decline, infertility.
All right, it's the men's room right here, and still on the infertility series, we're talking late marriage and fear of the unknown and infertility right here. I dare say you can call now. If you want to call, it's 0700-923-923-923. You can also send messages to 081-04-607-7791. Send messages there, text message or WhatsApp messages, or you can just send inquiries. Send it to that number, or you can also call 0163-100-92. That's 6310092. Call any of these numbers and you'd be attended to as soon as possible. So has IVF changed over the years? I mean, from whenever it started to the present day right now, has there been any changes, the technological breakthroughs and all of that, or is it still the same, or what would you tell us about?
Well, of course, the technology has grown, okay, because we started with collecting the eggs directly from the woman's stomach,
mm-hmm.
but now you can easily going through other means which are, you know, less invasive and collect the eggs during IVF. And also there is a new technology known as intracytoplasmic sperm injection, which is the ICSI.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It's just all of them big words coming.
Okay, so it's just the technology that helps us select a very good sperm. And Yes, we take it further, and we can actually select a sperm that has good morphological, you know, so in the appearance, sometimes you can see some little, you know, changes that may not be favorable
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
pregnancy. So we have a modified technology of the intracytoplasmic sperm injection, also wow. known as intracytoplasmic morphologically selected sperm injection, IMSI. So with that technique, you actually help the woman a whole lot. So with that technology, you're able to actually increase, you know, pregnancy rate. And then also we have pre-implantation genetic diagnosis.
Okay.
So like you also mentioned about the women that are older.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as genetics, we cannot do anything externally to help them. But we can also help them, you know, with the ones that they have. Because, of course, it's not all the eggs that will have genetic abnormalities.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use pre-implantation genetic screening, which involves looking at the chromosomes complement of the embryos, okay? Mm. So you just take a little cells from the embryo that is developing, mm-hmm. and then we do some analysis on them, and then we can tell even before we transfer the embryo inside of the woman, mm-hmm. if that is a normal embryo or an abnormal embryo. So with that way, you reduce the time to pregnancy for this elderly couple that we have. And also, we use the same technology, mm-hmm. for pre-implantation genetic diagnosis. So
hang on. Sorry. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. What's your name?
Loving.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ajawa Estate.
All right. You want to talk to us? You want to share a story or make an inquiry?
I want to make an inquiry.
Go ahead, please.
I want to ask you, the woman with the blocked fallopian tube, is there any something she can do about it?
Okay, so for blocked tubes, you said? Blocked tube? Blocked, yes. Fallopian tube?
Yeah.
Okay. So yes. For that, once if your doctor has already diagnosed that you have blocked tubes, then some people may offer surgery, but in order to, you know, get pregnancy at the fastest time possible, it's advised that you go see your doctor, and in vitro fertilization may be the best option for you, because what happens in in vitro fertilization is that we bypass the normal route of how the egg is supposed to come inside through the tube to the womb in order to get fertilized by the sperm. So with IVF, you double your chances at achieving a pregnancy even faster. So it may be possible to also do a tubal surgery, which I'm not sure is done in any part. I don't know if it's done in Nigeria. Mm. But of course, there's chances of recurrence with the closure. So the best bet to get pregnancy in the shortest time possible is to actually go through in vitro fertilization.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
My name is Favor.
All right, thanks for calling. Do you want to make an inquiry or share a story?
Yes, I want to make an inquiry.
Go ahead, please.
Please, I've been married for about a year now. I've been unable to conceive for the past 1 year. So I went to scan, and they were telling me that the eggs in my oven, they are just not growing. So I don't know what to do. If there is anything I can do to help the situation.
Okay, infertility, like we talked about, could be from the female and also from the male. So it's also important as you're doing your investigation that your husband also goes in and do a semen analysis. So semen analysis will check if you have sperm in the ejaculate, if they are moving very well, and if they are adequate enough, you know, to get to where they are supposed to get to. So I think it's advisable. So that you also reduce time, although 1 year is what is, you know, recommended in order to see a gynecologist or a fertility practitioner. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that you go meet a doctor right away to find out, you know, the main causes, so that they can give you a better or a valid or more or quicker ways to have your baby in time.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm Joy.
All right, Joy. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I had a miscarriage some time ago, June. And ever since then, I've not been able to conceive again. I don't know what the problem.
Okay, I think it's basically, maybe it could be a whole lot of reasons. It could be a hormonal reason. It could be a structural reason. But I think your best bet is still go and see your gynecologist. Let them do a proper evaluation. You could actually even be pregnant if you don't see your period for a very long time. So it's important before we make any decisions that you see a gynecologist or a fertility practitioner to really evaluate the cause of why you're getting or not having a period for so long, and then you can find a better solution.
Is there ever a hopeless case? in a situation like this? I mean, in a situation like this, and also considering medical breakthroughs, technology, and all of that, is there ever a hopeless case?
Well, I don't think so, because most of the time, the problem is the awareness. Mm-hmm. Most people don't know that there's actually hope. So the hopeless case that they may be seeing may actually have a very, very easy solution. You know, infertility is actually described as a disease of the reproductive organs. So just like you have malaria and you have to take medications to... Yes, so infertility is that way. So I think it's high time we leave the stigma and just walk into any good clinic.
Walk into... Yes. Bridge Clinic.
Yes,
go check yourself out.
And we have we actually have a product that helps you to just, even when you're not married, just come and check your fertility status. Yes, come and look at your hormonal panels, do an ultrasound, make sure that your ovaries are functioning properly.
You have it make for guys sure. as well?
Yes, we have it for guys too. They can just walk in and do a semen analysis, and it doesn't take a lot of time. And, you know, from the get-go, you go into it knowing that, okay, at least I have an idea of what is happening to me, and you can prefer solutions that way. So it's really a thing of the past now that people are shy, you know, to talk about infertility, because it's, you'll be surprised, 1 in 4 have those challenges. So why are we pretending about it? So it's time
one
to...
1 in 4?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it even increases with increase in age.
With increase in age and with causes that we're not sure of,
exactly,
that I probably would link to our modern day, you know, exposed to all kinds of things, all kinds of rays and all of that. And I don't know, this is just me ranting and all of that. What are the challenges of being an infertility specialist? I mean, there you are doing your thing, you've read up for this, you've studied for this, this is who you are now, this is what you do. What comes your way that you're like, gosh, man?
Yeah, I think the most important or the most aching for us is the age at which our couples present. Because you see a couple married for over 20 years and they walk into the clinic, and then probably you ask them, have you had any fertility treatment or any investigation? And they tell you no, they've never heard about it. So I think the awareness is really key, because... it's really troubling that there are a whole lot of places that you can get help.
That's what we're
yet
doing.
People are not, you know, taking advantage of it. So that is a major challenge for us, you know. So I think that's why we're doing this, to create the awareness and let people know that, yes, it's not a hopeless case. Mm-hmm. There is a solution, or there are solutions.
There are solutions,
you know. So don't just sit back and just ask, and you'll be surprised what you're able to achieve.
Amazing. So the numbers to call, once again, 081-04-60-7791. No, don't call that number. Just send a message, a WhatsApp message or a text. Send inquiries to that number and ask whatever you want to ask. And then you can also call 01-63-100-92. Right here in the studios, you can give us a call, 0700-923-923-923. She's here for you, and just to share her expertise on whatever she has for us. You talked earlier on. Hello?
Hello, good evening. Good evening.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
I'm Esther, Mrs. Esther.
All right, Esther. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Esther.
Please, there's a question I want to ask, please.
Go ahead,
please. I have a cousin. She's almost 45 because of her career. She's not married yet. You understand? It is very slow. I don't know what is responsible for it. She has tried to see if there's anything we can do to it, and she has not been able to get a good result. She's afraid whether she'll be able to have a baby, and she's yet to get married. So, doctor, how do you see it?
So, for egg freezing, unfortunately, it still has its limit, on because the success of egg freezing is still dependent on the age of the woman. But it's important that she goes into the clinic and evaluate herself and be sure that, yes, she can no longer, or she can, you know, produce those eggs. So if there are chances for her, which are a little bit slim, because the age factor is also, you know, an important factor when it comes to the success of infertility. But it's important that she sees a doctor, a fertility specialist, or a gynecologist, and just reevaluate herself and see if there is even a little bit of chance for her to actually freeze her egg until she's ready to, you know, have her own baby. But of course, I need to let you know that egg freezing is still very, very much dependent on the age of the woman.
When you say, can you expound on that?
So
the older you are?
Yes, the older you are, because what research has shown that for you to have a very good outcome, mm-hmm. after we, you know, we freeze it, so mm-hmm. we have to mm-hmm. thaw it out and mm-hmm. then perform mm-hmm. the ICSI, the intracytoplasmic sperm injection. So for you to have a very good success, you need to have at least about 8 of those eggs that are, you know, kept for you. Mm-hmm. So with the age factor, of course, that number drops. Is a bit reduced. Mm-hmm. But what some of our older couples also do, or older clients do, is that you have more than one IVF treatment cycle, okay. so you can pull the eggs, you know, together as much as possible. Yes. Yeah.
What are the chances of, again, from what I hear, that the offsprings of older women are usually not healthy, not as healthy as, you know, should be, and all of that, because of age and the eggs and stuff?
Yeah, it's already a proven fact that the age of the woman.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
My name is Shola. I'm calling from Kirilili.
Okay, thanks for calling in. What's your angle?
I want to share a story with the specialist.
Okay.
I'm married for a year plus now. But lately last year, I was sick. Then I went to the hospital. The pregnancy test was carried out, and the doctor did not confirm pregnancy. But I noticed that my menstrual period came very, very late. I think it was after a week plus from the normal time that it was supposed to come. And even before that time that I was sick, I gave many, many complaints, many symptoms of whatever I was feeling. Although the doctor said that those things I said were pregnancy symptoms. But when I did the home test, and she also did the blood test, she couldn't get if I was pregnant from the test. So it was later on that the menses came, but it was clotted blood. It was clotted blood, and it was painful through that week that I had it. And since then, I've not had any other issue like that. So, Ma, I'm trying to ask that, what do you think I can do?
Okay, so like we mentioned earlier, I don't know if you were listening to the show, but infertility could come in different forms, and it can come from the male and female. So for you, there are a lot of uterine factors that could be responsible, and a lot of hormonal factors. So I can't really say exactly what is wrong with you now until you're able to go to a doctor and have a full evaluation, because there are certain things that they will look at. Maybe your hormones are not in the right place and they need to be probably readjusted, and maybe we need to check, because uterine factors, which are fibroids, which are very common in this part of the country, can actually predispose you to heavier menstrual flows. So it's important that you have this investigation done, so that you can rule out every factor that can be corrected. So that way, the doctor is able to help you better to actually solve your problem.
Hmm. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name?
My name is Joy. I'm calling from Ikeja.
All right. Thanks for calling, Joy. Talk to us.
Yes. Sorry, I went to the psychologist last year. So they carried out the test for me, and they said I have ovarian failure.
Ovarian what?
And that failure.
Okay.
I cannot be able to conceive normally.
Hmm.
So I want the doctor to talk about it. What should I do? But they said I have to do IVF because it's too much for me to bear. So is there anything the beach clinic can do?
Okay, so how old did you say you are, madam?
I was 44. As at last year, this year, I'm getting to 45.
Okay, so it's true, probably what the doctor had evaluated, because age has a major factor to play with ovarian decline. But your hope of having a baby is not lost, because for those that have our clients that have very low ovarian reserve, that we can no longer use their eggs, there is an option of using a donor gamete, which is a donor egg. So younger people are coming forward these days to help couples that, you know, have, you know, those
have
difficulties. Yes.
Amazing.
So we can use donor oocyte for you, but of course it's a very psychological and emotional period, and most people have to go through counseling. We
exactly.
have counseling. We have our support services that will see you through, you know, that process, because it's not an easy decision. So yes, so your older women too, even with the, you know, loss of ovarian reserve, can still have their own babies. Well, not biological, but they can still, you know, carry a pregnancy, and, you know, of course you treat that child like your own. It's your baby.
You know, that's why I was going to ask, quote unquote, a dumb question on why go through the counseling, you know, considering and all of that. One, you know, you're getting something from someone, but then it's still going to be inside of you, you know, which would acclimatize to your condition and end up being yours. You know, on one hand, yes, the counseling, but on the other hand, it's like, hey, look, this is mine, this is mine. You know, but you still need to talk with them as much as possible.
Yes, of course. So even when you're working, you know, before you even go through the treatment cycle, you have an opportunity to meet with your counselor, especially when your doctor has told you we can no longer use your eggs and your ovarian decline is low, or even for the man too, that we don't have sperm anymore, and maybe you have to put them through counseling, because they have to make a decision.
You have sperm donors.
Yes, we have sperm donors too. So younger people too, just like we have, you know, egg donors, we also have sperm donors that are thoroughly screened, and, you know, we have a lot of evaluation done on them, and their IQ2s are tested, and of course medical history.
Who's IQ? The donor?
Donors,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Because I know that again from my lay experience, a whole lot of tests is able. You can do a whole lot of tests on the materials. That's the sperm and the eggs, to know which is good and which is not, and all. How detailed is this? How, as in bullseye, is this?
Well, morphologically, and when I say morphologically, with your eyes and the help of the microscope, yes, you can determine what a normal sperm should look like and what a normal egg should look like.
Okay.
But of course, like I told you, there is a chromosomes aspect, which is our genetic makeup that we cannot see with our eyes. And that's why for that precision to be accurate or near accurate, about 99.9%, you have to go through pre-implantation genetic screening. So that is only when we can know for sure that this embryo is free of any chromosomal abnormalities.
Now you're listening to The Men's Room right here, and I have with me Rose Owiche. She is the Head Laboratory Services and Clinical Embryologist at the Bridge Clinic. And we've been talking late marriages, fear of the unknown, and infertility. You know, the pros and the cons, the effects and that comes with late marriages. But hey, it's not hopeless. It isn't. That's why we're here. That's why they're here. And that's why they do what they do right there at the Bridge Clinic. You know, she's been talking on all kinds of options available, freezing and doing this and all of that. So she's been saying all kinds of things and possibilities of how you can get the smile back on your faces. Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, let's see. There's a number for you to call. Hello?
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, what's your name?
My name is Israel.
All right, Israel. Thanks for calling.
Please, I just want to ask a question.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Please, what are the kind of diet or food that could affect fertility? Maybe either in a man or a woman.
Okay, so for the male infertility, there are a whole lot of factors that could be responsible. There is the genetic aspect of it. Mm-hmm. So it's been shown that genetics has a major role to play in the low sperm count.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's transferable sometimes from the father to the son. And then also environmental factors, okay? Just like you mentioned, the toxin mm-hmm. or whatever is in the air. Mm-hmm. You know, the tight men that, you know, wear tight.
Oh, yeah, we talked a whole lot about that last week with Dr. Bamidele.
Dr. Bamidele, yes.
Briefs so and boxers exactly. And the coolness of the area he talked
because
about.
Because the way the testis is designed by God is outside of the body. Because the body's temperature is about 37 degrees centigrade. And outside, you're looking at about 26 to 28, depending on the region that you are anyway. So, of course, it's designed that way in order to reduce, you know, the heat that could actually damage the sperm. So it's advisable that men wear cotton pants as against tight pants. Sometimes to cycling, you know, most men that, you know, cycle.
I heard that, actually. And I'm like, okay, so how often should a man cycle? I saw a guy cycling this morning. I'm like, oh, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, so because basically what you're doing is you're generating. But cycling is good. We would not
prevent
people.
Good, but
of course, the length of the time, it could actually affect in the long run. And there are some unexplained infertility cases too in men. You know, everything is fine, but we still can't. Because sometimes we have very good sperm count.
But it's not just
working. It's just not working.
Could it be psychological? I don't know. Psychological or, I don't know, chemistry between the two of them or something?
Well, for the psychological bit, I think we have erectile dysfunctions too. Okay. You know, it could be pathological too, psychological, like you said.
Mm.
And sometimes you not having an erection can actually prevent you from having an ejaculation. Mm-hmm. So they go hand in hand. So these are some of the reasons that a male could actually come down with infertility.
Rose Opeche is in the house with us. She's the head of laboratory services and clinical embryologist. I have to think about that before I say it correctly.
You're getting better at it.
I'm getting better. So the more I say it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
Embryologist. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Paul.
All right, Paul. Thanks for calling.
I have a question. I've been listening to the program and I've really learned a lot. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The last caller that asked a question on what are the causes or what might be the causes of infertility in men, and he mentioned cycling. That really got my attention.
Why, were you the guy I saw cycling this morning?
Okay, I'm a fitness trainer, yeah?
Okay.
And my major means of transportation when I'm moving from one location to train and the other is through my bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I do that in the morning and also evening. Let's say 15 minutes max on it.
Okay.
To cover the travel distance, so I don't know.
Well,
so am I at risk or whatever? I don't know.
Well, we can't say that until we are able to, but of course, the whole idea behind cycling is that you generate a lot of heat around the testis area, so as much as possible, you want to reduce that, just like they say, smoking and alcohol can also be. There are some people that smoke and you know they drink a lot, yet. You know, they have, but these are predisposing factors that can actually affect the sperm count and the motility and all of that, and reduces your chance of, you know, having infertility or fertility issues.
Hmm.
A whole lot of people seem to be opting for this now. I'm talking assisted reproduction techniques and all of that. You know, what do you think is the cause for this?
Well, the cost is relative.
No, I mean the cost, not the cost, the cost.
Okay, you know, the cost
why
of infertility.
A whole lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of factors.
It's almost, I ask because as much as I can remember, you know, my parents, their generation, I don't think they had a whole lot of that as much as we see it now, as much as I can remember. It's arguable, but as much as I know. But it's quite rampant right now.
I think... Well, I may not say that because there's not enough data to actually support what you say.
It's arguable.
Yes, it's arguable because now people are coming out. It probably was there how many years ago? Mm. But of course, diet and, you know, weight, because now we're having a lot of fast food. And of course, the more you are in terms of the BMI, which is the body mass index, yeah, the more predisposed you are to infertility. Yes.
BMI also affects the ladies, not just the guys.
Because we talked about the guys. Even the guys too. Yeah. We are actually doing a study now to look at BMI and semen factors.
Mm.
And because a lot of research are actually pointing to that it could actually have an effect on both male and female infertility.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good. What's your name?
My name is Sarah.
All right. Thanks for calling. Talk to us, Sarah.
You're welcome. Okay, I have an inquiry.
Yeah, go on. Hello? Hello? Gosh, oh my goodness, we lost that call. And I wish I could tell you to call back, but we're out of time right now. That's what happens when you're having fun, you know, discussing things that matter. Well, guess what? We'll be here again, same time, same dial next week. So let's see how we can make it a date. You've been listening to The Men's Room, and we're carrying on with the series, Infertility. And today we zeroed in on late marriages, fear of the unknown, and infertility itself. Rose Ogbeche, the head of laboratory services and clinical embryologist at the Bridge Clinic, was my guest, and she shared a whole lot on the possibilities of being able to hold your own child in your womb and in your arms, putting a smile on your face as a couple and just letting you know that, hey, all hope is not lost. That's what technology has done, and that's what the Bridge Clinic is all about, and that's why we're bringing you the show to ensure that, or to let you in on the fact that, hey, look, it's not hopeless. We carry on with the series next week, so make sure and make it your business to make it a date with us right here in the Men's Room. Same time, same dial. Don't forget. My name is Onimisi Adaba. Thank you once again for listening. Thank you for calling in. And to my guest, Rose Ogbeche, thank you for coming. We'll see you again.
It's brand new on Inspiration FM. Bridge Clinic, the first pioneering IVF center in Nigeria, partners with The Men's Room to bring you the much-needed platform for healthy and honest discussions on things we as men hardly talk about. Join in every Tuesday from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. with Onimisi Adaba, The Men's Room. The Men's Room. From the bedroom to the boardroom. Shout out to my baby. He stand beside me when